Welcome into another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. It is Thursday, March 13th, 2014. I'm your host, J.R. Davis. Today we are joined by, Democratic Lieutenant Governor candidate John Burkhalter. We haven't had a chance to talk with him, so that's exciting. We'll be doing that in just a moment. But first, here are some of your headlines. In Little Rock, state lawmakers finishing up a fiscal session with final votes on a proposed $5 billion budget. For next year. It took all of 23 days, the longest ever budget session, but House Speaker Davy Carter says a lot was accomplished not only this year but in 2013 as well, which saw the creation of the private option and a $100 million tax cut. Governor Mike Beebe says despite perceptions of a more partisan state house compared to recent years, he disagrees.
I can't remember us ever getting 75% vote on a controversial issue when Clinton or Tucker or Huckabee. Maybe we did, and I've just forgotten it.
The House sending Speaker Davy Carter off with a framed Capitol photo signed by his colleagues. Carter leaving after serving the maximum limit of 3 2-year terms. The House will come back next week to select a new speaker. An election commission in central Arkansas filing a lawsuit challenging aspects of Arkansas's new voter ID law. At issue is the amount of time absentee voters are allowed to produce proof of identification if they do not have it at the time they vote. Under new rules, absentee voters who do not include a required form of identification when they submit their ballots will now get extra time to do so after Election Day. The Attorney General has said the law as passed does not address giving more time to absentee voters who do not submit ID. The law was filed by the Pulaski County Election Commission. Around the natural state, the future of transportation in Arkansas, a hot topic at the state capitol as well, and one idea being discussed Wednesday, the possibility of a high-speed rail along Interstate 30. According to the proposal, it would run between Dallas and Little Rock. Another look at the proposed routes, some of which also include connecting Tulsa and Little Rock to Dallas and San Antonio. A councilman in Rowlett, Texas, I believe, has been spearheading the effort for more than a year now. No word yet, though, on if or when actual construction could start. Joining me now is Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor John Burkhalter, joining me from Little Rock this morning. Is that correct?
No, I'm sitting in North Little Rock. I grew up in Sylvan Hills. My office is over in North Little Rock. My girls and my wife and I, we do live out in West Little Rock, but from North Little Rock this morning.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for taking time. We appreciate it for sure. All right, let's get straight into it. I know a lot of people in Northwest Arkansas, and there's kind of that disconnect between Central and Northwest Arkansas, but you're running statewide for Lieutenant Governor's office. Just kind of tell folks about yourself and get to know you a little bit more.
Well, I appreciate that, JR. I appreciate you having me on today.
Absolutely.
You know, my roots are actually from up in the Rogers Little Flock area. My mother and father, my granddad had a little bitty farm up there. About the only thing I saw, he had a couple cows and a small garden and a lot of rocks coming out of the ground, but I spent my summers with my grandparents in Little Flock, so I'm deeply rooted into Northwest Arkansas. And of course, I'm a graduate engineer from Northwest Arkansas, but I'm enjoying the campaign. It's just you get to meet so many people. You get to hear about where they grew up, what they've done in their life, what's important to them, where they're headed, and of course their concerns. You know, a lot of people have concerns, and we're still coming out of a deep recession, and people are still struggling in Arkansas. But it's very rewarding and very humbling that I get the chance to meet so many people, and they spend time with me to discuss what they're doing and what's important to them in the future of the state of Arkansas.
I spoke to your more than likely opponent, Republican opponent in the general, most likely I should say, is Tim Griffin, the congressman from Arkansas too. He talked about the office of lieutenant governor and the fact that it is a part-time position. He said it can be a lot more than that as far as, whether it be directing some legislation or whatever it might be. For you, what do you see the lieutenant governor's office being if you were to win that race in November?
Well, I'm a guy that, a lot of people use the word workaholic. Some people may think that's not a good word to use, but I'm a worker. Spent my whole life, I came from very little and worked very hard to accomplish what I've done, and Arkansas is going to get me full time. Arkansas has been great to me. I grew up in Sylvan Hills, and my mom worked full time to make sure my four sisters and I got a chance to get a college degree, and went to Hendricks and on to Fayetteville, where I got my civil engineering degree. Came to Little Rock, rolled up my sleeves and worked for another guy guy for about 10 years. I sat on a metal stool and behind a drawing table and designed engineering projects and got the opportunity to start my own company. And Arkansas has blessed me. I've accomplished so much, and I've done it here in Arkansas, and my parents always taught me to give back a debt, and this is my chance to return my debt to Arkansas. And I, you know, this is definitely a career change. I'm not a politician. I'm a small business owner. I don't have a political background, but I plan to work full-time for my state and use some of the tools that I've developed through the years, the opportunities that Arkansas has brought me, which is creating jobs, people like myself, finding capital. I couldn't find a banker for 2 years when I first went into business, and I didn't come from a family of any political influence or wealth, and I was denied a loan. I couldn't get a loan, and I literally started my business. I remortgaged my home, and I had good credit. My parents always taught me to take care of my credit, and I built it with credit cards and rented trucks and magnetic signs I bought to stick on trucks so I could go to a job and look like I had a real company. And then I built a real company. I built a great company in the state of Arkansas. And I want to help other people have access to capital and create companies and create jobs. I want to make sure we've got an educated workforce. It's so important that, you know, when people want to build businesses, that they've got an educated workforce. And I want to make sure employees have got a great opportunity to have a good job in Arkansas. And then not only create businesses, but help businesses grow that are here. And then, of course, bring businesses in from out of state. We have... We're not really competing with our surrounding states, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi. We are competing with the world, and I'm a guy who's traded internationally, and I'm willing and able and have done it in the past, and will do it again to get on a plane, a train, go anywhere I need to in the world to help bring these businesses to Arkansas. We've got great natural resources. We've got great people, and I think we've got to get our share of the jobs for the future and make sure that our citizens have great opportunities here.
It's interesting because you and Congressman Griffin both talk about kind of expanding the lieutenant governor's office as far as, you know, working those longer hours, you know, making sure that it's a full-time job, not a part-time job. On the other side, though, you have a Republican running in Andy Mayberry, the state legislator, who's talking about doing away with the office altogether. What is the need in your mind for the state's lieutenant governor's office?
Well, as we know, in life and anything that we do, you know, I've always believed if you want something to get done, give it to a doer. And I'm a person that if you get me committed and get me on board, you get me 100%. Mm-hmm. And it's not just who gets elected. It's actually the person that fills that job, shows up every day, and makes that. You can make a job anything you want. When I worked for others, I worked as hard for them as I worked for myself. And, you know, I'm a guy that has never left my state. I've always worked hard creating jobs, helping others, working for others. And when I worked for them, I worked hard. And I want to make sure that the next lieutenant governor is really working. He's really working full-time for his state, not for himself, but to help others, make sure we've got good jobs for the future. You know, I'm a small business owner. You know, I'm not a politician. And, you know, I think we've got plenty of politicians that want to talk about the next meeting, to get ready for the next meeting. And I'm a guy that, just like I told you, when I got out of college, I rolled up my sleeves and worked for someone else and did them a great job. And I want to do the same thing. You're going to see a guy showing up, rolling his sleeves up. And, you know, we got to do some talking, but we got to do some doing also.
And I want to move into the position of the lieutenant governor's office right now. And obviously with what happened with former lieutenant governor Mark Dar, what happened with former state treasurer Martha Schaffner, I mean, there have been issues. Even Attorney General Dustin McDaniel, there seems to be some type of maybe a lack of faith on the voters for those constitutional offices in the state of Arkansas. What would you do to kind of rebuild that faith for that office? Because again, it is in it's not in the best light right now.
I agree, and I hate that for the state of Arkansas, and you know, all of our public officials should be held to a higher standard. And I served on the Economic Development Commission as a chairman, and I served as a vice chairman of the State Highway Commission, and so I've been in and around government for many years. And it's just so important that whoever is elected is they're serving the people, and it's a humble calling, and you should uphold that office And I think the most important thing is people need to know that you are showing up and you are there full time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where anybody started talking about it being a part-time job. You won't ever hear that out of my mouth because I don't understand part-time. I've always been a full-time guy.
Okay, let's move into some other issues here. Obviously, again, folks just kind of getting to know you up here in Northwest Arkansas area, even though you're from here. Tell me a little bit about how you started with your first job. I know it was like a small piping company, correct? Is that what it was? It kind of explain what you did and how you kind of went from there, built from there, I guess.
I appreciate you asking that because I think the viewers will be very interested in that because I didn't come from a family of business people. I didn't understand how to start a business. And when I graduated from Fayetteville, I came to Little Rock and I took advantage and I went to ULR and took some business courses to further my education. But, you know, I got an idea. I met some guys, and we were kicking around an idea of how to reline pipes and sewer lines mainly, sewer and water lines. We did do some gas and petroleum lines, but mainly in the sanitary sewer market. And it was a process where you insert a liner inside another pipe, and you reform it with steam and pressure, and you have a seamless pipe from one connection to the other, and you don't have to do any excavating, which so many times in our cities, you can imagine in Dixon Street downtown Fayetteville, you know, you've got water, sewer, electrical, cable, fiber, all sorts of pipes, drainage structures, and if you dig down to repair one, you've got to go through, and there's a good chance you're going to damage the other lines in the ground, and also, of course, damage the road, shut the road down during that time. But I went 2 years without a loan, finally got an SBA loan. First time in my life I'd had any capital, and it was a little over $300,000. And I took that capital and I bought hard assets, equipment, and it was the first time in my life I had an opportunity to grow my business. And, you know, capital is so critical to businesses, and it was a great process. I built that business, started in 91, sold it in 98, and ran that business till 2002, where I came back to Arkansas. And, of course, I never left Arkansas. I always was based out of Little Rock. I did travel a lot. I've traveled a lot building my businesses, and both domestically and internationally. And it's been great. I created hundreds of jobs. I always brought that money back to Arkansas. I always did my banking here in Arkansas. And Arkansas has just been a great place for me to be raised, my sisters, my girls. I have two young daughters, and it just Arkansas has been great to me, and I'd like to take those tools that I've learned, how to create businesses, grow businesses, and help others. And of course, one thing I can never, ever talk enough about is education. You and I wouldn't be having this conversation today if I hadn't got a great education in Arkansas. It has been the equalizer in my life, and I believe it's the equalizer in most people's lives.
Describe to me your relationship with the Mikes, if you will. Mike Ross running for governor, and then, of course, Mike Beebe served. He appointed you to the Arkansas Highway Commission. Just explain, kind of talk about your relationship there. How far back do you guys go? You know, that kind of thing. How often do you talk?
Governor Beebe, our relationship goes back to when he was a state senator, and different causes, charitable causes are really how I met him originally. My wife and I have served as the chairman of the UAMS Gala, the Lund Gala. My wife's very involved in breast cancer. She's a breast cancer survivor. But I met him mainly through charitable events originally. And he's a guy that if he told me to jump off a bridge, I wouldn't want to do it. But, you know, if he said jump, I probably would. I think he has been a fantastic governor. He's carried us through the recession, which has been a very tough time for our country and our state. And, you know, we've balanced our budget. You know, politics have changed a lot in Arkansas. He's been a great guy to carry us through all the changes that have taken place. But I met him originally through charities, and then he's encouraged me. He first appointed me to the Economic Development Commission, where I became the chairman. And, you know, it was a great place for me to serve because of my business background. And then he appointed me to the Highway Commission. It's a commission that, you know, I'm no longer on. You know, I was on the UA Board of Advisors at Fayetteville, and when I got ready to decide that I was going to run, you know, I decided that it would be best if I didn't serve on any nonprofits or boards during that time. And but Mike Ross, it goes back prior when he was a senator, and I helped him in his first run for Congress. And his wife Holly and my wife Penny, and we've been friends for many, many years. And I knew him from the Prescott days and his pharmacy days, and just a long-term friend.
It is kind of interesting. I know not a lot of time do you kind of see basically a ticket in Arkansas. I know you guys have kind of gotten that friendly run in, you know, kind of thing with he running for governor, you running for lieutenant governor. That's not something you see a lot across the state, especially in an election year. What does that speak to?
Well, you know, I think the most, you know, as I'm just like any other Arkansan, I kind of look at what's happened in the last few years in Arkansas, and I think the easiest way to sum it up is we saw what a split ticket got us. You know, I think that the governor and lieutenant governor should be working closely together. There's so many obligations that a governor has, and, you know, if you've really got a lieutenant governor that's showing up for work and working hard, there's so many things that he can delegate and have him work with. And, you know, one of the first things, of course, Mike and I have announced that one of the first things he's going to do is announce his economic development cabinet, which I'm going to be the chairman of, and be working with many government agencies and throughout the state. And it's just, it just makes sense that you've got two guys working together.
And then a couple more questions. I do want to get to this just simply because we have to, but I know there's an issue right now going on, allegations in a lawsuit against you in a with a former business partner of yours. It kind of explain that situation, because there are a lot of major allegations in this lawsuit, but I want to give you a chance to kind of speak on that right now and kind of set the record straight from your point of view.
Sure, and as you're well aware, allegations are not facts, and some of this is being, you know, brought to the surface through, as I just got to say, some of this old dirty Washington politics that Arkansans are so tired of. But, you know, it's a fact that I discovered that I had a former business partner that was stealing money to the tune of about $250,000. It's a fact that he admitted at trial that he stole this money. It's a fact that the jury unanimously found him guilty of embezzling this money. And these allegations, that's exactly what they are. You know, you can say anything about me and I can say anything about you, but it doesn't make it true. And all I've ever tried to do is protect my employees and my businesses. And, you know, throughout my life, I've stood up for my friends and my neighbors and my family and my companies. And we need somebody that's going to stand up for the state of Arkansas. And, you know, I will continue to protect my employees and protect my businesses. And I will work hard to make sure that Arkansas is being, you know, it needs to be a front runner in the state, in the country. You know, there's not that many opportunities for a small state, but, you know, we've got to get our fair share of jobs, and I know how to create jobs and build businesses. And, you know, I think, you know, the most important thing is we need to get back to talking about what's so important about for this country, and it's about business. And, you know, I'm not into, you know, the underwater dirty politics and everything that comes out of Washington and the rumors. And, you know, I want to stick to facts, and the people of Arkansas need to stick to the facts.
Well, I don't know you very well, but I think just talking to you, it doesn't seem like you would come across as some of these statements here. It says one of the things that you busted in with an entourage into his office, and there were guns involved. I mean, like, all, you know, that he says this is what happened. Tell me what kind of a personality do you have? Is it, I mean, you come across as a very even keel guy on the phone, but what kind of personality do you have, and in business? Because obviously that's something, again, that's going to be on a lot of people's minds.
Sure.
When they go to the ballot box in November.
Sure, I've had a lot of people describe me as a plow mule, just a guy that's moving forward at all times. You know, I've operated all business levels of business, and, you know, that is not my personality. And, you know, back to the facts, those are allegations. This was, you know, embezzlers, which he is. Embezzlers want to try to move the subject to somewhere else other than themselves. You know, this was a clubhouse that I owned. I went into this clubhouse with my attorney and my CPA. We had put him on notice and his attorney that we were coming to copy books and records, which he denied for me for 3 years. Now, he was a CPA, and that's what they do. They don't want you to see the books and records. We entered this office with a my CPA and attorney and the ladies that worked there. And yes, we found the evidence which convicted him of embezzlement. But during that process, the office was littered with guns. And this was a clubhouse where children and women and men and people go to work out and to read and to pay their bills. And I never touched the gun. We had the maintenance lady, the woman, take these guns and take them out of there and put them over in her office away from the apartment development and had her take those to this partner, that the embezzler. But it's absolutely unfair, untrue, but as far as a personality, I'm a guy that my life, if you said on my tombstone, it's probably going to say this guy did it one brick at a time. And I've done that. I've started with very little, and I've worked hard, and I saved my money. That's another thing. You know, I run a very low at key operations, and I'm going to run the lieutenant governor's office the same way. I'm about saving money. I'm about stretching my dollars, and I've lived my whole life that way. If I hadn't, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish the things I have in my life.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by. Obviously, very, very important things. And we hope that we can have you on soon just to kind of check on the campaign, see how things are going. I know things are really starting to ramp up now. It's basically, you know, in that filing period, is kind of like the gateway. You know, you walk through that and then everything just kind of goes from 0 to 60, if you will. So best of luck to you, sir. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And we want you back on soon.
I appreciate it. And to your viewers, I hope they vote for me. I'm a doer, not a talker. And I want to make sure that I help my state. And I look forward to meeting more Arkansans on the trail, and I look forward to November and, of course, January, getting ready to come in and work full-time for my state.
All right, John Burkhalter, the Democratic candidate for the Lieutenant Governor's office here in the state of Arkansas. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, JR. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. All right, that's been another edition of the Natural State of Politics podcast. You can see all of our podcasts on NWAHomepage.com on the right-hand side. You click on the link, and it'll take you to all of them. For Jeff Campbell, our director and producer, I'm JR Davis, your host. We will see you next time.
This production is copyright 2014 by Nexstar Broadcasting Group. All rights reserved.